CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com. Scala.com is a global technology firm, business on all major continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. We begin this morning looking at China, East Asia, not for the conflict zone, but first for the fact that there was a 7.4 magnitude earthquake in Taiwan. And the first question I asked, having been to Taiwan, you would think I would be concerned with the fate of Taipei. Would buildings fall over? They're very good about building buildings that can withstand big earthquakes. That was a big one. It was on the east side of the island. But still, no, the first question I asked was, how's TSMC doing? And apparently that was the same thing Bloomberg was thinking, because immediately we had on the wire, Bloomberg's terminal, that TSMC was reporting safety precautions in place, all nominal, continuing manufacturing. Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. When you heard about the 7.4 magnitude earthquake in Taiwan, was your first thought TSMC? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Absolutely. The strategic importance of Taiwanese chip manufacturing cannot be played down in any way. With the earthquake, even though publicly a TSMC would state everything's good, nothing to see here, you likely lose 30 to 45 days worth of production, because these pieces of equipment that make microchips, advanced node, are so incredibly precise, making lines at 1 to 3 billionths of a meter. The recalibration, the resetting of them after an event like an earthquake takes weeks. And any product that was in production during that time period is typically thrown out. You start over. So could this be a blip in supply chain that you'll see in Q2 or Q3? Quite possibly. But there's certainly an impact on production.
To understand TSMC, the TSMC takes designs from NVIDIA, for example, and then manufactures the product. Is that how it works?
That's correct. TSMC enables what are called fabless chip companies like NVIDIA. TSMC are the best builders of chips in the world, working with some of the most advanced companies in the world on the chip design side.
And the chips that TSMC makes, is there as of yet a decentralized TSMC? Is there a factory in Japan or anywhere else that can take the NVIDIA design for the high end?
No, for the most advanced chips, there's 100% reliance on Taiwan.
Therefore, we were right to think about TSMC, because we're looking at the whole solar system coming down to one plant on one island. And if the earthquake isn't enough to worry about, you have the continual threats from the mainland for about the last 70 years. Let's go to the mainland. The reporting I've seen this week in the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, following numbers out of Beijing, is that the manufacturing center below 50 is considered retracting, above 50 expanding. The manufacturer number, surprising many, has moved above 50, just a little bit, but positively. Now, at the same time, we do not have macro numbers here, any indication about new hiring. We do have some numbers suggesting the young people from China are leaving. For example, the number of Chinese nationals crossing borders into the U.S. are said to be startlingly high. The various numbers are thrown out, but large numbers coming through the Darien Gap are flying right into Mexico and crossing into the U.S. So we don't have any hiring numbers, but we don't have any indication the hiring has been solved, especially for the people getting out of college. And then there's the housing story, which has not been dealt with whatsoever. Empty buildings may be transferred into public housing, but not successfully solving the loans that are out on the municipalities. So adding all this up, how do you get a positive manufacturing number? Is that a silo in China?
No, John, it's super easy. If you're the Chinese government, you simply fake the number. It's extremely well known not to trust any official Chinese government figures on economic output. They're completely politically motivated. That being said, if you look at indicators that they cannot fake, such as iron ore imports or container export, you can get a much better view of the truth. Additionally, China faces the headwind of non-Chinese investments. So external investment into China has cratered and has been in a very bad state for the past 18 months. Without that capital coming into China, even though China has amazing manufacturing capabilities and is the factory floor for the world, without additional capital coming in from the outside or orders coming in from the outside, it's stuck.
Recently, there was much attention to Xi Jinping hosting a gathering of American officials, American executives. Tim Cook was most mentioned in many of the reports I saw, but there were other distinguished members of the investment class traveling to Beijing to be feted. And yet afterwards, Ray Dalio, I believe he was in attendance, a man very famous for not especially being frightened of taking risks, let's put it that way, a man who understands hedge funds, said that China was in danger of a lost decade. That quote reverberated around the world. Do you follow that thinking, lost decade?
Absolutely. Mr. Dalio is patterning that off of the Japanese lost decade or decades, where because of lack of capital, because of inflation and stagflation, nothing materially happens. Again, China without external investment is stuck. And because the political winds continue to show as headwinds to external further investment into China, you see more factories coming to Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam, India. The single dependence on China for many of these global brands has been bifurcated after the pandemic. And now you see brands that are much more reticent investing in China until that capital flow reopens up. China is stuck and does face a lost decade.
The question of China's recovery, if that is at hand, is it something that we can time out second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter of 24 into 25? Is there a recovery in hand, or are they still dealing with the downside?
China cannot recover internally exclusively. They have to have a restart of the global economy or an acceleration of the global economy to dig out of the hole. There is not sufficient capital in China, as well as China is still facing the $200 billion a month, plus or minus, that's leaking out of the country as people leave China. So unless there's a global economic push, a growth and a reinvestment in China, they're stuck.
Let's come home to America. The story in America to deal with chips is the CHIPS Act to deal with industrial policy from the Biden administration. We're all concerned that we decentralize that TSMC story because without the high end, we're not going anywhere with AI. I've been chatting with AI. It's a very clever little bunny. It wants to get much smarter, be a big, clever bunny. But in any event, the decentralization, that's what the CHIPS Act is meant to achieve. Is it in hand, Chris? Can we say when the decentralization will be something we can count on in case there's another catastrophe in Taiwan?
So, John, I think the best way to say it is that you're not going to get out of a problem that was created over 20 plus years of lax industrial policy in 2 or 3 years. CHIPS Act is a great start. It is a great forward movement in repatriating and reshoring advanced manufacturing. But if you look at the structural fundamental issues, companies like TSMC are the best in the world at building these advanced chips, not simply because they have very smart, very dedicated, very hardworking people, but over the last 20 years, they've received almost $200 billion in subsidy from the Taiwanese government. Mr. Gelsinger and the Intel position is, if you want us to be able to compete on a global stage, you U.S. federal government need to bring more money to the table to make the capital structures better for investment here in the United States.
And therefore, this is a political problem as well as a technology problem. You talked about the calibration and having to bring in people who spend weeks calibrating these machines, the fabs they're called. But before that happens, the politicians have to make a decision about solving this. And has that decision been made, or are they working on it?
I would say that the CHIPS Act at $52 billion was a good start and is the right direction. But if you seek to enhance chip manufacturing in the U.S., whether that be direct government money, whether that be government-backed loans or others, the advanced chip-making game now is a game of immense capital. And private companies, an Intel, even an NVIDIA, who are the kings of the castle, are still very – it's still very difficult to compete against governments who are pouring capital into competitive actions. So we need to continue to evolve that manufacturing policy, economic policy, to find a way to make U.S. companies be capital competitive without direct government paying for everything that goes into a fab.
Final 30 seconds. The slow burn metaphor for commercial real estate. Is that what you still observe across the country? Slow burn of these buildings no longer viable at their market price and having to be reduced to sell?
At best, with extend and pretend, banks are trying to simply prevent a full outbreak of fire, but everything continues to smolder.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm, business on all the major continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.